Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita. Continuing with Sri Krishna's speaking to Arjuna about the eternality of the soul. 19. Neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer, nor he who thinks it is slain, is in knowledge, for the self slays not, nor is slain. Comment. So the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, the self is neither the subject of the act of killing, nor its object. He who thinks that the soul is the killer, parentheses, that Arjuna is killing Bhishma and others, and he who thinks that the soul is killed, parentheses, that Bhishma and others have been killed by Arjuna, are both ignorant. End quote. No one can truly kill or be killed. Krishna elaborates on this point in the next verse. 20. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Comment. Krishna clearly delineates the eternality of the soul. Najayate mriyate. The soul is not born and it never dies. The soul is aja, unborn in the past, present, or future, and is shashvata, deathless. Again, Arjuna's fear of killing his guru was defeated. In this way, Krishna continues to dismantle Arjuna's arguments against fighting. 21. O Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, eternal, unborn, and immutable, how can he kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? Comment. Krishna here offers Arjuna jnana, knowledge. With this knowledge, he can engage in warfare, yet incur no sinful reactions. Srila Prabhupada describes Arjuna should fight. Although the justice of the peace awards capital punishment to a person condemned for murder, the justice of the peace cannot be blamed, because he orders violence to another person according to the codes of justice. Similarly, when Krishna orders fighting, it must be concluded that violence is for the supreme justice. And thus, Arjuna should follow the instruction, knowing well that such violence committed in the act of fighting for Krishna is not violence at all, because at any rate, the man, or rather the soul, cannot be killed. So for the administration of justice, so-called violence is permitted. That was the end of Prabhupada's words. According to Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan, Arjuna may think, granting that the soul does not die, still the bodies of men called Bhishma and others are going to be destroyed in the battle. That is wrong, because it will improperly deprive them of the happiness they derive from their bodies. Krishna explains to Arjuna the fault of that logic in the next verse. 22. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Comment. Changing bodies is inevitable. Again, Arjuna's refusal to fight will not protect Bhishma, Drona, or anyone else on the battlefield from having to change bodies. Thus, Krishna once more defeats Arjuna's arguments. 23. The soul can neither be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. Comment. Arjuna is a great kshatriya, and he has an arsenal of powerful weapons. Although he has a hard-tempered sword, that sword cannot cut the soul. Though he possesses a fire weapon, that fire cannot burn the soul. Neither can his water weapon inundate it, nor his wind weapon wither the soul. the eternal soul. 24. This individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble, and he can neither be burned nor dried. He is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. 25. It is said that the soul is invisible, inconceivable, and immutable. Knowing this, you should not grieve for the body. Comment. These slokas reiterate a principle that Krishna has already established. Generally, repetition is considered proper in Sanskrit literature only when used for emphasis. Krishna thus repeats himself to remove all doubts about the soul's eternality. Krishna now begins offering another argument to convince Arjuna to take part in the battle. Verse 26 starts with the words atacha, if however, which indicates that Krishna will now begin to discuss a new topic. So the Vishnu Bhagavati Thakura explains Krishna's thinking. I have thus far explained things to you from the viewpoint of Shastra. Now I will explain them from the worldly point of view. 26. If, however, you think that the soul or the symptoms of life is always born and dies forever, you still have no reason to lament, O mighty Om. Comment. Krishna first explained the soul's eternality. Now he argues on the basis of principles presented by other philosophers, namely atheists and Buddhists. Krishna thus checkmates Arjuna by considering all possible angles. If all the assembled warriors are factually eternal, no one will die on the battlefield, and Arjuna should therefore do his duty and fight. If no soul exists and life is simply the results of a chemical combination, then still Arjuna should do his duty and fight. If Arjuna accepts the argument for the non-existence of the soul, then he should not be afraid to fight. After all, how can he be the killer of a combination of chemicals? Thus, whether the soul exists or not, Arjuna should not lament, but he should fight. 27. One who has taken his birth is sure to die, and after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Comment. Arjuna is wrong if he thinks he will stop the Kauravas' deaths by not fighting. When the eternal soul contacts a temporary material body, birth takes place. When the eternal soul loses contact with that body, death results. This point is again explained in the next verse, 28. All created beings are unmanifest in their beginning, manifest in their interim state, and unmanifest again when annihilated. So what is the need there for lamentation? What need is there? So what need is there for lamentation? Comment. Krishna has just said that Arjuna should fight whether he believes in it. In an eternal soul possessing a material body, or whether or not we believe in the soul, the material body was previously unmanifested. Now for some time, the body is manifested, and in the future, it will again become unmanifested. The body must be annihilated. What is the use, therefore, of lamentation? Arjuna should fight regardless of what knowledge of the soul he accepts as true. Again, describing the difference between the body and the soul continues until text 30. And verse 29 is the amazing verse. And we shall stop here before the amazing verse. Hare Krishna.